10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Injection, fellas.
Are we on the air?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, here comes the. Here comes the. Here comes the.
Y'all don't really want it like.
Tell you we had another hump day, middle of the week. That I'm talking about. Woo! Two more days before Saturday. Yes, yes, yes. And rest for some. Some of y'all still had to work. I'm sorry, but hey, it's still a day, right? It's day off somewhere in there. All right. Well, welcome to Let's Talk on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Eric Jackson. And today we have another outstanding show that's planned for you. And the title of that show is Relationships or Convenience, which I think will draw some very interesting points of view. That's a good word to say, point of view. I really think you will. Uh-oh, I'm having some things going on here. Let's see. Oh, already 111, I got you in there. All right, let's see. Like I always do, you know, we got to get this disclaimer out. Hey, you know, the show covers some very key subjects. And before we get started, I'd like to officially apologize to anyone that may feel offended by what may be said, okay? Even if you say something to offend somebody, I'm apologizing to that person too. But you must remember, this is an adult show, and adult things do get said. So, hey, I do apologize if you do become offended. Now, however, please do not call here with the intention of trying to offend anybody, okay? Because I'm telling you, I'm finna start cracking down. I'm just going to go and put it on out there. All right? If you call in and start some stuff and I figure out that's what you're doing, you're gone. We're not even playing that game anymore. Okay, I think I'm one of the most liberal hosts there are because I let everybody talk. But maybe I just need to fix this because some people are trying to push the button. But it's okay. It's all right. Now that we have that out of the way. Okay? Wow. I got that out of the way fast, didn't I? All right. Well, before we get started, there's some things I do want to talk about, like all of the time. You know, there are always a couple of things I need to talk about before we get started with the show, while with let the council members and everybody else, you know, come from the other shows and, you know, catch up to what we're doing. Now, here's my question. You know, of course, everybody know Beyonce sung the song at the inauguration of the national anthem. Why is there such a big problem with her possibly lip syncing some of the words? That's not nothing brand new. Why is there such a problem with that? You know, it's just amazing at the little petty things that people decide they want to pick on. You know, they want to make big matters out of. In the big scheme of things, why does that even matter? Really? Why? Huh? Why does that matter? Anybody? She got Jay-Z. You think that matter to him? No. She got Blue Diamond. You think that matter to the little Blue Diamond? No. So what is the problem? Why is that such a big thing? Huh? Why? We don't care. Okay, let's put it this way. We don't care. Heck, she can sing recorded all she wants to. I really don't care. I don't care. Find something else. There's too much going on to worry about whether this woman is up singing for real or not. I don't care. I don't care. I don't care. I'm just putting it out. I don't care. Okay, now. All right. Into another story. Moving on. That's how much I don't care. I'm moving on from that one now. On to another story. Mante Teo. He has acknowledged in an interview with Katie Couric that he briefly lied about his online girlfriend after learning she was fictitious. Now, but he did make a kind of a very, I'd say, interesting point. And that point was, the microphone keep falling over here. And that point was, he said, put yourself in my situation. My whole world told me that she died, his supposedly girlfriend, on September 12th. Everybody knew that. This girl who I committed myself to died on September 12th. Now I get a phone call on December 6th saying that she's alive, and then I'm going to be put on national TV 2 days later at the Heisman Trophy ceremony in New York, and to ask me about the same question, he may say, you know, what would you do? And that is a good point. You know, and I don't think we ever looked at it that way. All right, we never looked at it that way. But it kind of sort of, he kind of made a little bit of sense. Now, I'm not saying, you know, you know, condoning that he lied, but sometimes that's what you have to do. If you put in a situation like that, too, sometimes you just have no choice. You don't. You don't. So let's give it a, let's think about it a little bit more. Because he was put in one heck of a bind. But he did say, you know, he had nothing to do with the hoax. You know, that was something somebody did, which is very cruel, to be honest with you. It is very, very cruel. But it's over with now. So hopefully everybody learned from that and do, you know, do a little bit more diligence when confronted with so-called online girlfriends. Okay? All right. Now, once again, I want to thank everybody for joining us today. The topic of the show is relationship or convenience. Now, before we get started, if you want to join in the conversation, 347-838-8622. Email me, ericlesstalk@gmail.com. Go to my Facebook page, ericlesstalk@facebook.com. Or you can follow me on Twitter at driven4r-life62. Also, you can join me in our chat room where I have Miss Anav, my chat room coordinator there. And the only thing you have to do is just sign into www.blogtalkradio.com/Eric Jackson 62. And, you know, go ahead and join me in the chat room. Sometimes the conversation in the chat room be just as heated as the conversation on the lines. That's for sure. All right. Well, with all that being said, and I think it's time for us to start rocking and rolling up in here. So if that's the case, let's get, well, okay. I guess my caller had to, he took a break for a moment. Okay. Well, until my lines light up again. Let's see. Okay, wait a minute. I had some more stuff here. I don't know what happened. Once again, computers are doing their own thing. Okay. Hey, have you ever been Have you ever been in a relationship where you think it's a relationship, but you kind of feel taken advantage of? You ever feel like you're just there for the convenience of it, for the other person? You ever think about that? In case, gentlemen, men, let's say you dating a girl, a young lady, and she has kids. Now, in order, you know, you decide you're going to marry, but the only thing she wants to do is have you there just for the kids. She really doesn't love you. She really don't care nothing about you. But for the convenience of saying her kids have a male in the household, she marries you. Now, your life is just, what is your life? What is your life? See? Interesting question. Let me go ahead and open up my phone lines and and get started today. Good afternoon, y'all. Let's talk. What's on your mind?
Well, I just want to say that I don't care either. I don't care if I offend every goddamn bitch on the planet.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And you're going to tell me that you actually believe this Mante Teo idiot?
Look, man, I mean, but Joe, you have... Okay. Joe, you have to admit, he does have a point.
He has no point.
Yes, he does. What would you do, Joe? You've been told this, and then in the last few seconds, you got to go on national television.
Well, you, Eric, you nuts.
Come on, Joe, what would you do?
I wouldn't be in that position. It's obvious he perpetrated the whole hoax.
Well, I mean, well, you know what, though? No, because the young lady who Pitcher actually belonged to, she actually did an interview where she said she got a call from whoever perpetrated, started this little catfish thing, where they showed her pictures of the guy who started it and somebody else in the hospital room. That's how they ended up with the picture. So the sender made two, whatever the guy's name is, the linebacker. So I don't know. I don't know, Joe. He may not have had anything to do with it in the beginning.
Right. A guy who's an All-American, a guy who's going to be a first-round draft pick, he can't find any other chick in the entire union. He's got to find some girl he's never seen to be his girlfriend online, and he falls in love with a picture. And then when she dies, the girl that calls back, he thinks it's the same voice. And even though his father said that they had met in 2009, then the father changes his mind, and you think that this guy is legitimate.
I actually do. I actually think he was just that naive. I really do, Joe. You know, as a real thing, I think he was really not that naive. What's up, Benny? I see you out there in the chat room. I think he was just that naive for real. I know, that is crazy, but I do. I really do. Because, Joe, come on now. Don't think it's not possible.
With all the circumstances we know now, no wonder you and that bitch who called in yesterday got along.
See, there you
but
go,
she's
Joe.
Not here, so she's not here. No,
I ain't talking about her.
What?
Now, I know you just didn't call me a bitch, Joe.
Oh, I didn't call you a bitch. I said,
oh, okay.
You have
all
the
right.
same thing in common with the bitch from yesterday.
Oh, I was going to say, because I'm going to tell you, my balls are very large. I done slapped some people with them before. So.
That big, huh?
That's right. So don't play. Oh, Lord. Have mercy. But, yeah, I really do believe that. I really do believe that he
Huh?
Who are you talking to, Joe?
Oh, I think his name is Eric Jackson, 62, the guy to believe that this particular schmuck who's letting the world know that he's got a girlfriend who he's never seen, and she dies, and then she calls back, and he believes her.
Wait, I'm sure he did. You know what, Joe? No. Oh.
You got somebody
in the chat room that agree with you. But I'm not. I mean, Joe, come on. That you, if you done been through all this and all of a sudden you get a call say she's dead, you got a call say she was dead, then all of a sudden later on you get a call say she's alive, that kind of got to put you in kind of shock. What would you do? Then you got to go and sit up there and try and look composed.
I would tell the person who called me to go fuck themselves, because that's obviously a... No, they must have thought this guy had to be the stupidest guy on the planet if this thing happened. As it is now, he's making fools out of everybody who believes in him.
Well, I'm sure there's more to come. I'm sure there's
more to come, too.
Yeah. And
this guy's an attention junkie.
He's an attention
like that.
Junkie? Oh, Joe, come on now.
What makes you think this guy is for real? In any way, what makes you think so?
Well, you know what? I'll put it this way, Joe. Just to look, he just looked like he's kind of slow. You know, he may have taken. He does. He looks like he could be just that naive.
Uh huh.
That's my opinion, though.
Uh huh.
You see, in the chat room, it says if he was supposed to be dating this girl online, don't you think he would have known about her illness? Don't you think after she died, he would have gone to her funeral? Okay, those are all legitimate questions. They're legitimate, and see that's what we got to find out more about. That's why we need to find out more about it.
You got to find out more about.
Yes, I do, and I'll let y'all know.
You know, I can understand if somebody gets a,
but
you know.
But see, you got to understand too, Joe. They kind of did it. The way they did it was really mean because his grandmother died on the same day.
You're presuming that there's a there's other people who did this hoax. Eric, I can understand. Let's say, for example, you had the show for a while, and you had a nice little following, and somebody called you and sent you a picture, and you said, oh, nice-looking girl, and you get into an online conversation with her. Are you ever going to tell anybody, without ever having met her, that she is your girlfriend?
No, I'm not
going
to do that. But, Joe, you got to consider my age compared to his, though.
Even so, the guy's an athlete. He has his choice of all kinds of women. But instead, for his girlfriend, he picks somebody he's never seen, somebody who's anonymous.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Wasn't it, I'll go and find out. More to come on this one.
All right.
More to come. In the chat room, Joe, you got supporters all over. Just the fact that his grandmother died the same day tells me he was involved. I agree with Joe all the way. Okay. All right. So, see, you do have some supporters there, Joe. I don't know, but I'm just going to say. All right. Cool. More to come on that story because y'all know I'm going to keep going until I get to the end of it. Like the Javon Belcher one. Anyway, so what you think about them making this big thing about Beyonce and her singing?
I didn't even know about it, but as far as I'm
concerned. Thank you.
I agree with you. I mean, to me, everybody's always lip-synced the national anthem. They do lip-syncing all the time. If somebody's making a big deal out of it, they're nuts.
My point exactly. Why are we even worried about that mess? You know, why? You know, it makes no freaking sense whatsoever. And I really don't care. You know, she sang. Okay, if she didn't, she didn't. It's over. It doesn't really matter. Let's see. In the chat room says, the guy was a superstar player, a big man on campus. He could have taken his choice of many females. Or basically the same thing you just said.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he wasn't just BMOC. This guy was number one in the entire country when he was in high school.
Okay. Well, you know what? I'll be honest with you. I follow college for football. I really do because I'm a football junkie. I had never heard of this guy until this year. I'm not going to lie to you. Until, you know, the tragedy happened, I had never heard of him.
Is this guy a junior or a senior?
He's a senior, I think.
Senior, huh?
Yeah, I had never heard of him.
He didn't do anything last year?
No.
No?
No.
Well, maybe that's why he made up the whole bullshit, so that he can get himself closer to being the winner of the Heisman.
I guess that's, it could be. It could be. Like I said, more to come on that. We're gonna figure it out.
Okay.
Me and Joe, we do that kind of things. We'll figure it out. But I don't think he was involved all the way. The females on campus sure knew about him. I'm sure they did, Benny. I'm sure they did. 510, welcome to the show. So with Beyonce out of the way, we don't really care about Beyonce. You know, so be it, so forth, and it's gone. Pow. Ain't nobody say poof, pow, it's gone. Okay, Joe, so let's talk about today's topic, relationship or convenience. Have you ever been in a relationship that's been just totally for convenience?
Yeah, I have.
You have?
Yeah.
Well, do tell.
Mm-hmm.
Were you the one using it for convenience, or was she the one using you for convenience?
Both.
Hmm.
This one girl, she didn't know how to take no. So she stuck around. So I figured, okay, why not? So we stuck around for about 2 years. She wanted to get married. I didn't. So apparently, maybe it was just because of the frustration of her knowing that I wasn't going to marry her. She started playing more and more games towards the end until I had to let her go. But for me, she was nothing more than just a convenience. I didn't love her. I wanted to because we were hanging around each other, you know, for long periods of time, stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm figuring she's always here. Let's see what I can do with this. And instead of just, spending time fucking, I was willing to see if the relationship could go anywhere, but it couldn't. So that was the end of that.
But is it okay? So let me ask this question: is it fair to call it a relationship? If it's just for convenience, do you call it a relationship?
I guess if you want to call it loosely a relationship, but I wouldn't call it a relationship that two people are committed to one another and they're trying to please one another and they're trying to find fulfillment within the relationship. I think on a second tier type of relationship, maybe you can call it a relationship, a loose definition of it, but I wouldn't call it a relationship that I would recommend to anybody.
Well, I wouldn't recommend that either. Okay.
Unless you're just getting pussy, you know. And
you
even get tired of that after a while because you're wondering, okay, I got this, but I would rather have somebody else here than her.
Mm-hmm.
So I still wouldn't recommend it.
So is it possible? Okay, I'm gonna ask this question: is it possible to start off in a meaningful relationship and just turn into something that's just convenience for both people?
Oh yeah, that happens all the time.
Does it really? What causes that? Why would that? I mean, if you're starting off meaning for it to be a real tight relationship, how does it end up being convenient?
Well, for the same reason all relationships come to an end is because people have expectations of each other. They don't live up to those expectations. They become disappointed. And the feelings that used to be very, very high and used to be very energetic, very prolific, they're no longer that way. They're on the wane. So what used to be your significant other is now just a person of convenience.
Hmm. Wow. Okay. I think we need to explore the dynamics of that a little bit. I really do. Because, that just seems so cut and dry. It's got to be more to it, Joe.
I always bring things down to this least irreducible elements. I don't believe in saying in four pages what I can say in a paragraph.
Well, what if I have some listeners out there that want to hear you say it, the specifics of how that can happen. They may be going through it themselves and don't know it until they hear it on the show today.
Well, I mean, it's very easy. I mean, everybody, again, they take a look at their significant other as somebody that they hope is going to match their dreams. Men have visions of what they want their girlfriend to be, albeit they don't have very high expectations. They don't care if, the girl is the CEO or going to become the CEO or is on her way to being a doctor. All we really care about is, can we trust the chick? Is she good in bed? Does she have our back? And that's basically it, and maybe a few more other elements thrown in. But a woman judges a man by what he is as opposed to who he is. She has him, regardless of whether she admits it or not, she has him as a hero. She wants him to fulfill her hero complex. And if he doesn't, and a lot of times men can't, because the expectations from women are too high, too unrealistic, women get very disappointed in their men. And the relationships that started out as being very, very high, on a high note, very positive, very energetic, very enthusiastic,
headed towards almost romantic bliss and all that kind of mythical bullshit. The relationship becomes dampened over time because naturally people will disappoint one another. You know, the woman wants a hero. The man doesn't want to be a hero. There are no more dragons to slay. So when he comes home and he's not exactly the most exciting creature he used to be, she's thinking that he's changed. And he notices either subliminally or consciously that her feelings towards him have changed. The enthusiasm, the little favors, they haven't been done as often as before. They don't seem to have the same kind of enthusiasm as before. And so everybody gets into a rut. And they can either accept the rut or they become complacent about one another. And then the relationship just deteriorates. It's the cause of all deteriorations of all relationships in America. I saved everybody years and years and years of going to therapy, of reading books, reading magazines, talking to people. I just boiled it down right now.
You just boiled it on down, huh?
Yep.
So who do you think is more, who you think does it more, men or the women?
Who does what more?
Getting in relationships for just convenience.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know who does it more.
You know, and the way you explain it, I remember a situation I was in where I was wedded to someone. And, you know, they had some kids and stuff like that. And I don't know. I guess you're right, Joe, because, you know, there was little signs here and there to where I actually felt I was more of a convenience than anything. You know, so I guess, I mean, the way you said it, it makes a little bit of sense.
Well, what do you think makes relationships which start off supposedly well, what makes them deteriorate?
What makes it deteriorate? Lack of communication, I think, for one. But it depends. If they're actually in for the relationship part of it, I think they stop working to make it a relationship. They become content with each other.
I would say complacent. Not
complacent. Okay. Yeah. All right. Complacent. Yeah, I like that word better. Yeah, they become complacent. And from there, one starts, you know, taking the other one for granted.
Well, yeah, but how does that get to that point, though? See, I agree with you. I mean, communication is important, but you wouldn't need to have communication unless there was something wrong in the relationship, right? I mean,
no. Because communication, whether something wrong, and you know what? And something wrong in a relationship is not always a bad thing, as long as you're able to talk about it. Because sometimes something bad actually opens up lines of communication that weren't open before.
Well, communication is good if people respond to the communication. Okay, so if they don't respond to the communication, then communication doesn't mean shit. All it is a conduit. But if the person says, oh, okay, I hear you, yes, yes, and they don't change, right, then the problem isn't the communication, okay? A lot of people always say communication is the key. I maintain communication is not the key. Communication will help you determine whether or not the relationship you're in is a good one or not. But if people don't respond to what you want them to do, then you've got an impasse. And if people don't know how to break through the impasse, the relationship is just that of sleeping with the enemy.
Sleeping with the enemy, huh?
That's it.
You know, and then it kind of goes back to something Mr. Solution says all the time. In the beginning, I guess if you ask the right questions in the beginning, you kind of maybe get a feel for whether, you know, this is who you want for, or you're going to be used for a convenience partner.
You know, well, it's always good to try to find out, you know, what the other person's about without having to go through the trials and tribulations of the experiences themselves.
Mm-hmm.
I've done that. Get a phone number. I talk to a girl for a while on the phone. I find out what she's about, even though she doesn't realize she's revealing herself to me. And then I decide whether or not I want to go out on a date or whether I even want to call the chick back. And it's better to do it that way than to go through the experiences. You know, like when I was a kid, you had to go through finding out that the girl had an attitude of, well, I'm the princess, and I can, even though I tell you I'm going to call you, it's my prerogative as a girl to change my mind. Or they can have the attitude, well, you're supposed to be the man, you're supposed to do this, my role is this, your role is that. When you've gone through that enough times, you don't have to go, you know, you don't have to continue to touch the oven to find out that it's hot. All you got to do is just talk to people, ask them certain questions, get the answers, and you know pretty much what kind of mindset of the person, what the mindset of the person is by talking to them. See, a lot of people don't learn, though. They always have to walk through the hoops of fire. Well, you shouldn't have to do that. All you have to do is just ask a few questions.
Just ask a few questions.
Yep.
Hmm. Okay. Okay, you ask a few questions and you find out the person is, you know, they really not into the want you for religious. What if they just come out and tell you straight up, they want you for convenience?
Well, that's okay as long as it's mutual. I mean, if somebody wants to fuck me, right?
Okay.
And I don't give a fuck about them and I just want to fuck them, mm-hmm. then it's, you know, it's two fuckables.
Oh, Lord. All right. Hold on, Joe. Somebody else want to come in.
Okay.
All right. Don't make me put you on mute, Joe.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, put him on mute. Put him on mute because I don't want him interrupting me, please. Him and Mr. So-Called Solutions. Hello, yeah. They like to interrupt all the time.
Hello, ma'am. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm just loving me. Anyway, you got to love yourself first before you can love anybody else. So I just have just an observation. In listening to the men on your show, it seems like they want another man in their life and not a woman. Because, you know, almost like androgynous, because it seems like a lot of their arguments and issues with women are that women want men to do A, B, C, D, and they don't believe that should be the case. Women should, they want equal rights, they should have the same responsibility, they need to go into the military, they need to raise kids alone if the man didn't want them. They need to approach men like men approach women. They need to pay for dates like men pay for dates. So, I mean, really, why don't they just go and be with another man?
Okay, ma'am. Well, let me ask you a question. here's the question. What do you expect? What, in your opinion, what is a man supposed to do?
Well, you know, it's biological. God made men and women different because they think different. Their expectations will be different. And I think it works best if we don't deviate too much from how the Lord has created us. Now, if they expect women to function and think like men and to take on the same responsibilities and roles as men, then there's no sense of being with a woman. Just be with another man.
Well,
so what is it? Let me ask a question. What is it you bring to the table that should make a man feel proud that he?
I really don't want to talk to you You have a very arrogant, condescending.
Okay,
tone.
See, Eric.
I
have to do.
Don't
all
talk
right.
With you. I mean, I really don't.
All she wants to do is come up here and criticize anybody who does not want
to
put themselves up for any type of questions. You shouldn't even be here.
Well, you can't.
It's very, very simple.
You
if you want to make
me.
A statement, that's fine. But at the same time, when you make a statement, you should also allow other people to try to find out about what it is that you
want
to say.
I did not want to talk to you from the very beginning.
Okay.
You're not respecting that.
Okay. All right, ma'am. Well, I'm at... okay.
You're not respecting that.
Someone in the chat room said, I think the two of them should get together. Maybe start dating.
No way. Absolutely not.
Okay,
oh
ma'am.
My
so,
God.
So
I only if I had a baseball bat.
I'm going to ask
you.
Oh,
that is absolutely not.
Okay, ma'am. What do you bring to the table yourself as a female? Black? I'm taking you a black female, professional female. So what do you bring to the table?
I'm not going to even go that way. I know what I bring. I don't have to get personal. I'm not going to talk about myself. I'm just talking about myself personally. I'm just bringing up observations.
Okay.
From my perspective.
Okay, observations. What do you, let's talk about relationships and convenience. How do you feel about that? What do you think causes...
People are wrong. They do what they want to do, but I think folks, people should co-sign onto that. I think it's very ugly to have somebody playing another person. I mean, if you're going to be honest and have a relationship, just say it's a relationship. Find somebody who wants the same thing. When you become grown, and you take responsibility, it's not just about me and getting my needs satisfied. Even if you can see the person may have some self-esteem issues or whatever, you don't have to take advantage of them. Go be with the people that are like mine, that think like you do. Then there'll be less issues, less emotional damage, less conflict. There are some that will co-sign to that.
She's just a wealth of knowledge.
Yes, I am.
Mm-hmm.
You're absolutely right, I am.
Mm. So, along with my
university degrees.
What are universities?
I'm not going to
the University of Crackerjack.
Right. And where did you get your
fine.
From?
Okay,
anyway.
Ma'am. Let me ask you, have you ever been in a relationship that has been for convenience?
No.
No. Okay.
I did not choose. I don't deal with people on that level. That's not attractive to me, and I don't need it.
No. Okay. All right.
And what do you think, then, would be the cause of the deterioration of most relationships other than communication?
Well, the expectation, first of all, there's no compatibility and there's no similar values. So, I mean, if you want to be, if you want to play folks and use folks and, hey, if that's your agenda, then there's going to be issues with that. I just say, why don't players go after other players? Because you all understand each other, be on the same page. But I think there's ill intentions. I think people don't understand themselves. They really don't understand themselves at all. And they have low self-esteem, a lot of it, I think. And lack of confidence that they project onto somebody else. And that's what a lot of the problem is.
Okay.
And, of course, when there's substance abuse issues, people haven't been raised in, good homes where they were taught how to love and respect people. Not just their significant other, but people.
Okay. So you feel that low self-esteem and it has a lot to play with being, used for convenience. You just think
absolutely,
it couldn't happen?
Absolutely. Because if a person doesn't have, a healthy sense of self and love themselves, then they're going to be more vulnerable to predators that are going to recognize that and use them. If you do, then you're not going to even, you know, you're not going to gravitate toward that kind of personality type.
Okay, well, I'm going to ask you the same question I asked Joe then. You go into a relationship and everything is going fine, then all of a sudden it just goes blah, and then it becomes one of convenience. How do you get?
Well,
I think
people have to take they take people for granted. It gets easy to get caught up in your day to day responsibilities, you know, and things you have to do. You get tired, so what is the saying? Familiarity is the father of contempt. Contempt is a
familiarity breeds contempt.
Breeds contempt, right? So that's what happens. I think people have to understand their relationships need to evolve. They need to grow. You need to do things together. There has to be compatibility and respect. You know, you can't get bored. And I think a lot of times men don't understand that it's boring when men, okay, they think they're going to work and they're coming home. I'm here, ain't I? You know, and they're watching the sports all day on Sunday. And that is boring.
So what is it the woman should do in order to spice up the relationship?
Well, you know, women know how to cater to, well, not all women, but, you know, to take responsibility for yourself, to learn and grow, you know, to share, you know, to assist with the finances if need be. Sometimes people, that the women don't work, their husbands make enough money, they don't even want them to work because they want them to be the caretakers of their children in their home. And the men make enough money, and that's how it works for them. However, for a time, until the kids get older, then the women, you know, they want to do career stuff, and the husband supports them. So, you know, it all depends.
Yeah, but that didn't answer my question. My question was, what should the woman do to spice up the relationship? I'm not talking about the abstract principles about whether or not the woman's going
to
stay home and be a kid.
To spice up the relationship? What do you mean, spice up the relationship?
Well, you just complained that the man, if he just comes home, and he says, well,
I mean,
I'm here.
They have to do things together. I'm not putting it on the woman or the man. I'm just saying it's boring. The woman
yes,
can
come home. Yes, and I'm asking you, what do you think a woman can do? There's only two people in the relationship.
Okay. Before y'all get into argument, let me bring Stan in. Hello, Stan. We're doing fine. How you doing?
Hey, Stan. Did you find out about, did you hear anything about? Huh?
What's the name of the lady who's in there with us?
I'm called Lady.
Okay. I'm listening to her. I have to disagree. I've known many women who had total confidence. And Joe, you could agree with that. Total confidence with themselves. Totally confident. But had shitty relationships. Total confidence. They were always going out with guys who were next. I mean, more confident, more sure than yourself, more health and skills than that you couldn't have. But we're still going out with guys who treated them like crap.
Right.
Okay, so confidence doesn't have to do something with it. It's like, depends
you
on
know, you can be confident in certain areas. It doesn't mean, you know.
I mean, confident in the relationship, confident in everything. It's not, trust me not, confidence is not this. You know, it's just you
well,
have to have standards.
When people reveal themselves to you, then it's up to you to decide if you're going to put up with it or not. There's also biochemical reasons why people stay with each other because of the bonding chemicals that are released when you have sex with intimacy. And that's why women get, yes, absolutely true. This is scientific.
We don't have that. Wait, lady, maybe you do as a woman, you have that, but man, we don't have that chemical thing. That's why
I'm a woman, so I have to speak from a woman's
perspective, I agree with you. But for a man perspective, we don't have that. That's why men are able to basically sleep with a woman and still like her and sleep with another woman just for sleeping. And it doesn't mean anything for them. That's a relationship. That's some stuff that women don't get and feel very offended.
Well, your example was about a woman that stayed with that confidence and stayed with a man. I'm trying to explain why.
And repeat what you said, lady.
I'm just saying that, you know, a scientific evidence shows over and over, you can read it all over the internet, about when women have sex with men, for the most part, there are chemicals that are released that causes her to bond with that man. It's the same chemicals that are released when she breastfeeds her newborn. It's there intentionally. The Lord God made it that way. So that's why women need to be very careful about who they sleep with. Now, a lot of women don't know that. So,
oh,
you know,
please,
they,
all women know that.
They don't know that. They do not know. They don't know.
They've been bragging about it for years. When women have been saying, well, you know, we are more emotional creatures than you are, and we get... And we get so attached faster than men. They've been talking about it for decades.
They think it's emotional attachment, but it's an actual biochemical as well.
Yes, and they know that. So anyway.
Well, some do, but some don't. Now, you're speaking for all women, okay? That's what I'm saying. You're very, very haughty, and you make...
That's right, because I know what I'm talking about. If that disturbs you with your confidence, can't help you.
All right.
Okay.
Anyway,
I'm going to come back to what she said at one point. She said, and Joe, that was a good question. When you asked, you're coming back from work, you're doing whatever you need to do, you go home, you say hi to your wife or girlfriend, set up the thing, and she said it's boring. And Joe came back with the question is, if you find as a woman that's boring what you're doing, your man or your husband, what are you going to do to spice it up? And you still didn't answer that question.
Because
maybe your man doesn't feel that that's boring at all. Maybe your man, it for us men, it's very, we don't need much. We just need somebody who's loyal to you. We need somebody who has our back. We need somebody who's peaceful. We don't need somebody who's going to fight us, especially when we come back from work. We want basically peace when we come home. We want to feel wanted. And I think a woman wants to feel wanted. But once a guy makes you feel wanted and stays in the television, what else do you feel? What can you do first to spice it up? And what do you expect? Second question, what do you expect your man to do also? Let's go for the first one first.
Well, I think for, you know, you have to take an interesting. You have to be an interesting person. Somebody wants to even talk to and be around. Even husbands and wives. So for the man or the woman, be interesting. Learn. Grow. Keep work out. You know, laugh, smile when you see the man. Cook for the man, foods that are healthy that you know that he likes. Present them with a high positive energy. You know, do little weekend trips out of town. You need to change your environment. You know, there's other things you can do in the bedroom. I don't have to discuss it. Everybody knows. You know, there's ways to do that. But it's not all on the woman. The man needs to also think about how to keep the energy up, how to keep self interesting.
Okay. But again, the question is about how does the woman do it? The man, we've been accused of not doing it for decades and decades.
I think men are very comfortable. They come home from work, they're tired, they want a meal, they want to watch TV and sports, and, you know, and they're happy, which, you know.
So
well,
the question is still out there. What can the woman, if the woman's dissatisfied,
well,
what should she do?
I've already discussed that. I tell you this much, don't get mad.
Wait a minute, you've already discussed it? I don't know what the answer is.
Well,
you said I don't know what the answer is. You said laugh together. Well, they've been laughing together. You said you can plan a trip, but you didn't say whether or not the woman should. Let me ask. You didn't say whether or not.
Self-interesting.
So what should the woman do to keep herself interesting?
I'm not going to go into all of that. You're
worthless.
I'm absolutely
worthless. You are not worth any kind of discussion at all.
Because, let me try this, Joe.
Yeah, but you don't know her, Stan, but go ahead.
I know. That's why I'm going very smooth.
It's a very nasty, negative, broad, sweeping statement about people you don't know.
Okay,
so
I'm not that dumb. Stanley is going to talk to you. I'm not.
Go ahead, Stanley.
You think them like they're factual. You are laughable.
Lady, the reason Joe has that conviction is, as a man, if you will ask me what can I do, I'm going to own up personal responsibility, and I could list you 20 things that I could do.
Things that she can do. If you don't want to accept that, oh well. If you don't
but that's what we're asking you because lady, there are women.
I gotta go.
She's gotta go again.
Yeah, I do. I'm not gonna.
All right, so nobody's stopping.
Bye.
Okay. Because that's the thing that a lot of ladies don't know. As a man, if you ask me that question directly, what can I do as a man? There's so many things I could do. I could call you up and tell you I love you. I could prepare dinner. I could give you a nice
Yeah, there's
job.
A lot of things.
There's so many things I could name out of my mind and everything. I could bring you out. I could, you know, do some
There's a lot of things. I've already.
There's
I've
so
already,
many things
yeah.
I could do. So as a woman, and that is the question, as a woman, what can you do to make it better? If you're bored in a relationship and your man is not doing something, it is your responsibility to do something because maybe the man is happy. As a man, we just need peace. I'm telling you, we don't need much.
So, Stanley, I'm going to ask you, how does it become convenient? If that's the case, then how does the relationship become just convenient?
It only becomes convenient when both parties stop growing and both parties stop respecting each other. When both parties stop taking each other for granted, then it becomes convenient. When you forget that you were happy with that girl, and you, as a man, I can only talk as a man, if I decide in my manhood to basically stop treating that woman properly and doing what I need to do, then of course it's going to be convenient, and I wouldn't be surprised. But if I do what I need to do, that means treat her with respect, be honest with her, care about her, being a caring person, being a person who listens to her and cares about her and show her that I care about her, after that, it won't be convenient.
Let me tell you what the major difference is. This is the fundamental difference between men and women today. If a man comes across a woman who is attractive, if she's interesting in her conversations, if she has an interesting background so that she can talk about it, if she's trustworthy, okay? Eric and Stan, I already know what Stan's answer is going to be, and I can already, you know, assume what Eric's answer is going to be. If you come across a woman like that, some woman, you know, again, let me repeat, the woman's nice looking, she's interesting, okay? You've been with her for a while. She hasn't shown you that she's untrustworthy, so you can assume, all right, at least for the time being, that she's trustworthy, and she's good in bed. Now, as a man, would you or would you not want to be with that girl for a long, long time?
Yeah.
Okay, Eric, what about you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, now, if you found that girl and she was with you for a long time and you decided, both of you decided to have a relationship, and she continued to be, you know, an interesting conversationalist, didn't annoy you, didn't whine, didn't nag, right? She was still pretty. Would you still want to continue with that long-term relationship?
Yeah, I would.
Okay, Dan, would you?
Yeah, I would.
All right, now here's the difference between that and a woman. A woman meets a nice-looking guy. He's an interesting conversationalist. He's good in bed. He treats her with respect. Now, if he was only that, okay, if he was only that and he never changed, he was always reliable. He was always, you know, he always had about the same sense of humor. He was always, of course, good looking. Do you think that the woman, the modern, everyday, average American woman, do you think she would, over time, be bored with that guy, or do you think she would be satisfied to have that guy?
She'd be bored.
Eric, what do you say?
I would have to agree with Stanley on that one. She would be bored.
Okay.
Because
that guy's not a challenge for her.
Right. Okay. Yeah. That is the difference between men and women. Because even if we find something that is healthy, we want to continue with it. We are very, very content to have harmony.
Yeah.
Women cannot have it. If for any other questions that anybody ever has about why men and women cannot get along, that is it. Because even when men and women do get along, the woman will fuck it up. Okay? So that's it. I mean, I'm not saying that there aren't men out here who are dickheads. There are plenty of men who are dickheads, can't have a relationship. But I'm going to say the majority of men, if you gave them that woman, would try to take care of that woman. Whereas the vast majority of women would have a relationship that would eventually become boring to them and would go on the skids.
I agree with Joe. Women forget that loyalty for men is extremely important.
Hold on for a minute, Stan. I just got a question I want to ask the ladies in the chat room, because we got a couple in the chat room. And
okay.
It just came to mind. And then we can go and finish what you were saying. Ladies in the chat room, because since none of y'all on the line, I got to ask you in the chat room. Here's the question to you. When you say you want the man to tell you the truth, what do you really want?
Well, good question.
Good question.
I mean, I'm putting it out there to the ladies. You know, y'all in the chat room chatting it up. Talk to me. Talk to me back.
Yeah, give him an answer, girls. And in the meantime, I'm going to say, I'm finished with my comparison between the men and the women. That's it. That's why women go for the negative. I don't even want to call them bad boys. Bad boys has too much of a positive connotation because of Hollywood.
Yeah,
I would say women.
Person.
What, Stan?
The negative person. Like,
yeah, I call them the negative people. They go for the negatives. They go for the people who are emotionally unavailable, the men that beat them, the men that don't care for them. But the men who do care for them, give them a respect, they get tired of it. That's
bored of it. I know what he's going to do. I know what he's and I'm looking and...
In other words, he becomes predictable.
Exactly. He becomes like somebody that, I could have him. And I'm like, really? You should hold up to that. Because if he's treating you with... He's making you smile every day, you shouldn't take that for granted.
Absolutely.
You know?
I see. We gotta answer. Tell us the truth, even if it hurts. Hopefully, we can get over it. Oh, somebody was being funny. The truth, but you can't handle you. Can you handle the truth? That's right, ladies. If we were to tell you the downright, straight up truth that you'd be asking, can you handle it? Do you really
handle it? Can. If you come back to a woman,
you
know
saying,
and tell
they
the,
want it. Can
yeah,
you
they
actually
you
handle
the truth,
real truth?
Yeah. If you tell the truth, you go to a woman and say, you know what? I just want to sleep with you. Yeah, they, what do I look like? Do I look like one of those prostitutes or hookers or this or that? So guys go the other way and say, well, you know, I like to get to know you and go to dinner. And a lot of guys don't want to go there. They just want to sleep with you.
Yeah. And there's another thing about truth, too. I mean, men don't reveal their vulnerabilities to women because intuitively we know that if we start revealing too much of ourselves, women will think of that as weak. And the feelings that they had for us will change because they are parasites. Women change because they're parasites. The more a woman reveals herself, shows herself to be vulnerable, the more the man will take the woman into his chest, hold her, and say, let me comfort you, baby. But a woman doesn't do that over time.
Okay, here's some more responses. I got one that was texted to me. The truth don't lie, even if it hurts. Tell me the truth. And in the chat room, God, if you are smart, you can use your man's truth as a learning tool. You have to be honest and receptive to yourself first. And let's see. Also in the chat room, there is a huge problem with women not knowing how to be happy. It's part of the problem with current society. Get married and live happily ever after. But that leaves women without responsibility for her own responsibility.
Actually, that guy said it.
That's one thing I tell women. I say... You know, when I'm with you, I'm responsible for one thing, to make you feel special. I am responsible for making you happy. Happiness is your own responsibility. Because I could do everything crazy to make you feel special. But if you're an unhappy woman, you're an unhappy woman. That's your own responsibility. It's not mine, and you can't blame it on me. Because you didn't take ownership to that.
Oh, yeah, and that was a woman that said that, too.
Well, then she is hopefully a very wise
woman. Yeah, she's a very wise woman. Because a lot of women say, well... That guy was supposed to make me happy. No, he wasn't. He was supposed to make you feel special. Happiness is your own responsibility.
And
if you don't have
thing.
Happiness, that's your own shit. You got to work on it. You got to find out why you're not happy.
Yeah, and I want to dovetail off of what Stan said. If a woman who is being made to feel special, being made to feel important by somebody that she supposedly cares about, if she can't feel happy off of that, she's fucked up.
Yeah. If she can't be happy off of that and take it for nothing and say, well, you know, you're not making me happy, then, oh boy. You know?
She's got problems, like the woman
she got
said.
Problems.
Women.
She got to go see somebody. She got to go see a psychologist or go get close or go do whatever and say, I got a problem being happy. I can't blame it on another person. You know?
The woman said it very, very concisely. Women can't be happy. Women don't know how to be happy without drama. That is, it's just incredibly how pathological females are.
Here goes another statement. Men want to make women happy, but if women don't know how to be happy, that makes men feel obsolete and they move on.
Yeah. It's not, and I tell every man, it's not your job to make them happy. Your job is only to make them feel special and wanted. That's it. Happiness?
Okay.
Not
Stanley,
your job.
So Stanley, what is considered making them feel special?
Making them feel wanted, making them feel like they're great people,
treating them with respect, being honest with them, seeing greatness in them
when they don't believe it. That's feeling, making somebody feel special, saying to that person when he's down or she's down on something that she believes she could do it, having her back and saying to her, you can make it. I have your back. I believe in you. Seeing greatness in you when you don't see it.
Well, hold on. I got another caller.
I hope it's a woman with a brain this time.
Oh, good afternoon. You're on Let's Talk. You're on the air. How you doing tonight?
You're on the air, caller.
Hello.
All right.
Oh, okay. I'll leave. Hello, 949. You there?
All right. Well, in any case, let's suppose, to answer your question and to parallel what Stan is talking about, supposing you found you're in a relationship, I think, Eric. Well, so let's leave you out of it. But suppose man finds a girl and they've been together for a while and he says to her, babe, you are the best thing so far that has happened to me in the past decade. Every time I'm around you, you make me feel special. I hope I make you feel special because to me, you are special. Every time we talk, I know that everything that comes out of your mouth is the truth. And I appreciate the little gifts you gave me last week. Just the little things that you do for me make me feel good. And so I'm glad that you do that because I know and I hope and I do know that you appreciate what I've done for you because you've written me letters telling me that you have. You are...
Okay, 949, your mic is open.
Hi there. This is Attorney Liz, and I'm the one who's been writing in about the problem with unhappiness with women. And, you know, there's a commercial that I've seen on TV that really struck it at home. I can't remember if it's for Chase or American Express, but you guys probably remember the commercial where the guy's sitting at the table, and he's kind of an average Joe, and he's sitting there with this gorgeous woman, and she's saying... Maybe I'll have the lobster. Maybe I'll have the steak. You guys know the commercial?
Oh, yeah.
No.
Okay. And then he races out to go to Chase to go to the ATM. To get her that. Now, what happens most of the time when you ask your women where they want to go to dinner? Do they say, I don't care, wherever you want to go?
Yeah.
Okay. And how does that make you feel? That makes you feel like, okay, now I got to guess.
Yeah.
How about Mexican? Too spicy. How about Italian? Too heavy. And then you have to guess. Where all you guys want to do is make women happy.
Yeah.
And you would not believe the percentage of divorces that are really, when you look at the root cause, it's based on the way our society is set up. Because women expect to get married and live happily ever after. And they forget about their own happiness. They forget their favorite color. They forget their favorite food.
And I feel they focus too much on the wedding, but not enough on the marriage.
Yeah.
Exactly. They have their big day. But
they
you know what?
Big
those women...
day, like, I got to spend $20,000. That has to be an essential day. And you take those women and say, what about the rest of your life with this guy? How are you going
right.
to make it great?
Exactly.
I don't know.
And then, you know... Those same women don't realize that in, you know, those fairy tales, you never hear Prince Charming saying a word.
Well, and the ones that are absolutely presented by Hollywood, women don't realize that if they just, for them to be happy, just please your man. Show appreciation. And
you know
man...
what? Though, you got to be really careful about the word please your man, because you all know that once a woman turns into your mother,
yeah,
you lose
interest.
We don't want
that either.
You don't
no,
want that.
I'm going to disagree with you on that because I'm not talking about mama's boy, but if two people have to enter a relationship, they both have to have the foundational precept of, I want to please him, I want to please her. Because if one does not have that particular concept ingrained in him or her, then that relationship is doomed. You have to try to please the other person, not to compromise your own principles, but just to let the other person know, you know what, just because you are alive, I appreciate you. And I'm
showing appreciation and going to please are two different things. And I agree with you, because what I think men want to do is they want to make women happy and then have the women say, wow, that's fantastic. You brought me to the best shrimp place in the world, and I love it.
Yeah,
and I think showing that appreciation makes you guys feel like heroes, makes you happy. And, you know, whereas if they say, it's okay, but you know what, why don't I make you something instead, then all of a sudden the man's usefulness kind of goes out the window.
Well, that's
a lot of relationships happen like this, and they end up in divorce.
Yeah. Now, again, that's because of what I had talked about before, standing it on the air. I don't know if you were around. It's the expectations that people have of one another. They're unrealistic. The thing is that men should not try to have to bring women to an emotional climax, and women shouldn't have to do the same thing. We should just have to please one another, realize that person is there. Stan has often said, they've got our back. They're somebody we can trust. They're interesting. They're good. I don't know what a freaking woman wants more, why they want more. A man is very satisfied if you're good-looking, you can carry on a conversation, you're not going to whine and nag, you're good in bed. We're great. We feel fine. We got you every day of the week. And maybe there's a little boredom there. So a man, he's indoctrinated with the brainwashing that he should spice things up a little. And we don't mind doing it as long as we're appreciated for it and as long as women also reciprocate. But that's it. We're very simple creatures. Why you women want more than what you should expect, that's on you.
Well, Stephen Covey wrote a book in which he said there are three levels in a relationship, three levels of maturity. One is dependence, which is the lowest level, and that's when one person kind of pulls the other one down. The other one is independence, where you don't need each other. And the last one is interdependence, and that's where you pull each other up.
Yeah.
The kind of relationship where people work together and pull each other up is extremely rare in today's society. And by pulling up, I don't mean financially. It could be emotionally. It could be just having each other's back, like you said earlier. But instead, what typically happens, there's a crack somewhere in the relationship, whether health crisis, financials, you know, somebody gets upset about something, and you start the blame game. And instead of focusing on solutions and being constructive and pulling each other up, you play the blame game, and that turns into, I'm right, you're wrong. The sky's blue, no, it's gray, no, it's blue, no, it's gray. And you hear these people in the grocery store bickering, and then that turns into, I win, you lose. And you're nicer to strangers on the street than you are your own boyfriend, girlfriend, spouse, whatever. And that's when it gets really sad.
I agree.
It gets really sad. And I'll tell you, when they carry that over into the divorce, one winner. Not them, me.
Yeah.
The divorce lawyer always wins when they walk in the courtroom because they make money.
It's like they forget that. I ask that to a lot of couples when they bicker. Do you want to be happy or do you want to be right?
Yeah, right.
And then, but it's not about being right.
There's a total difference. If you want to be right, hey, I have no problem saying, but you want to be happy as a couple, because being happy, not the same thing as being right. And I agree with you. A lot of people, when it comes to couples, everything focus 80% on the problem, 20% not even on the solution. Instead of doing reverse, we have this problem, let's resolve it, let's respect each other for whatever we need to do, and let's find a solution. And let's have also the convenience that you could say to your partner, I don't agree with you with respect. There's a difference of saying, I don't agree with you with respect. And men, respect for men is extremely important. then there's difference than having a woman nag at you and put you down and telling you that you're basically acting like you're her mother, and you look at this woman saying, and the woman's surprised, how come you left? Because he didn't want to be with a mother. He wanted to be with a girlfriend who has his back, who believes in him, who comes to him with respect and saying, you know what, I didn't like what you said and everything, but I didn't like your behavior. There's a difference between the behavior of somebody and telling them you are this. And that's something a lot of women do, attacking the character of a man. You never do that. Ever.
Yeah, that's one big problem is the name calling and the blame and all of that. And I mean, that's 101, whether you're rearing children or in a relationship, is that when you talk to somebody about an issue you have with them, you do talk about the behavior or your own feeling. Like, when you said that, it made me feel this way, and maybe you didn't intend it, but this is the way I feel.
Yeah,
and when you talk about things like that, it's much more constructive than when you name call and blame. And
right.
Nobody likes to be told they're wrong.
Yeah.
Even
when
they are, they don't like to be told that.
Have the right to say what they did. I have no
problem. Well, let me ask you this question. This is a question that comes up on our show all the time. So since we have an actual attorney here, let's ask her this question. What are some of the main reasons people come to see you for a divorce for?
Affairs, financial.
Sex.
But those are symptoms. I mean, a lot of relationships can survive affairs. Because they're usually symptoms. Men typically have affairs when they're unsure of where they are in life. For example, it's very common for men to have affairs when their wife is pregnant. And it's because all of a sudden they're like, I'm a father. Am I where I want to be? Or the wife makes them feel like they're their mother and they're not happy and they're living life like a black and white TV. And all of a sudden, this woman is smiling at him, telling him he's the hero. And that's not a feeling he's had for his wife in years. And neither of them are happy. It's usually something that's gone on for a long time where they're both unhappy. Financial, people can get through it, but not if they're blaming each other. If they're focused on blame, then that's not helpful. And you know what's really interesting is that because we have the choice and the ability to fall in love, there's a very, very high divorce rate. Now, I'm not necessarily pro-arranged marriages, but there is a low divorce rate in arranged marriages. Why? Because it's just like your mother or your brother. It's your family no matter what, and it's not a choice. It's who it is, and you accept them for who they are. Everybody wants to be told, I love you, not I love you, but you need to change this, you need to change that, you need to love somebody for everything. And if there are problems, you work through them. Just like you can't change the fact somebody's your mother. And in today's world with choices, and especially in the internet world where there's so much quick information, you can go online onto, you know, all the dating websites and get a date in 10 minutes. Things happen very, very quickly. And so it's very easy to say this isn't for me.
I think a lot of people have to go like Stephen Covey talks about it, emotional needs. If you don't have an emotional need with your partner, you're done. It's like a bank. You have to build it. I mean, that means like Joe is saying and me is saying, you have to build every day the most possible you can. Little niceness you could do every day to make you feel your partner feel special. If you build that over time and not just once in the blue moon like a lot of people do, Valentine's, Christmas, birthday and this, but every time you're with that person, making them feel just a little thing, special, wanted, caring and everything, over time, when a big thing happened, let's say the guy lost his job or things like that, and both build it, they'll have more tendency to be together because they have an emotional need or emotional bond between each other, and they have the respect that, you know what, you're still great even though you lost your job. But if you lose your job and you did it once in a blue moon, and you didn't treat your girlfriend like whatever and she deserved to be treated, and then you lose your job, don't be surprised that the girlfriend will turn on you and say, see you. Why should I be with you?
Well, the reason they do that isn't because of financial trouble. That's a symptom, and that's also a red herring.
Yeah.
It's not about a man losing his job. It's about the man losing his status in conjunction with the woman who's had irrational expectations to begin with. The man has got
Well, you know, the man wants to be admired, and the woman wants to be adored.
Yeah.
When somebody loses their job, it's you in the relationship, you have to work very hard to still make the man feel admired.
No. If the man loses his job, like Stanley was talking about, all the woman has to do is just have his back.
Yeah,
but you don't put him down. If you put
him down,
of course not.
The relationship's on its way out.
But the problem is, though, is that when the man loses his job and his status, the woman now feels disappointed.
Exactly.
Why? Because she's had irrational expectations about what her hero is supposed to be. She may not even know what the hero is supposed to look like, feel like, because it could all be, and it is, almost all subliminal. Because she's been fed this by Disneyland, she's been fed this by Hollywood, she's been fed this by the comic book, she's been fed this by Wuthering Heights.
She's
also
been fed this by her friends also.
And her friends, her girlfriends, who have been
fed this same shit.
Her girlfriends
who never had a boyfriend or somebody for a long time.
But that's why most divorces, people will say, either irreconcilable differences or financial. It's not financial. It's because the man lost his job, he has now fallen off the papier-mâché pedestal. She can't deal with it. If she had different expectations, if she was trained and indoctrinated with the right type of philosophies, then she would say, honey, I'm with you. And the guy would go back on his feet a lot sooner. He would have the confidence of knowing that his girlfriend or his wife is there for him. But we all know in today's society, either intuitively or consciously, you lose your job, you got the girl there who all of a sudden she's not talking to you the same way that she was before, and you know why. Because you lost your job, your status, and your image of what she wanted you to be has now been tarnished. It's all emotional. It has nothing to do with anything material. I mean, when I say material, I mean something that's tangible. Because that's bullshit.
You know, though, I see a lot of times, though, but, I mean, most of the people I deal with are situations where both parties work, where both parties have sources of income.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you, a lot of times when men lose their jobs, they check out even before the wife has a chance to do anything. And at that point, if the wife can't be supportive and draw them back in, a lot of times, you know, it's too late because
when you
it
say
can
check
be very
out,
emasculating. I'm sorry?
When you say check out, what do you mean?
A lot of men take their paycheck and their career and their job as their identity, as
right.
their self-esteem.
Right.
And when they lose it, sometimes they don't even tell their girlfriends. They'll just check out because they feel badly for themselves. They just won't. You know, talk to them, they won't communicate.
Oh, but that
emotional intimacy is gone.
Yeah. Well, that goes back to what I was saying. They know intuitively that if they're about to let the girl know, hey, honey, I used to be on top, but I'm no longer Hercules anymore. Uh-oh. What does he know? Because he knows in order to have gotten this girl, he had to work 12 hours a day to reach, whatever pinnacle he thinks he's reached. He knows that he is an object. He is a status object. He knows that intuitively. That's why he works so hard in order to get the woman. Because he knows if he didn't reach that pinnacle, he wasn't getting her. He might have gotten somebody else if he stayed, as a mail boy, as opposed to climbing up from the mail room to become, the head of a talent agency or something. With status comes the women. Without status, you got a certain type of women, but they're not acceptable women. They're the blue collar women without college educations, barely passed high school. They may be good looking, but they're not exactly what you would call the women that are desirable.
Okay, well, the one thing though in the situation you're talking about, ever increasingly now, women are starting to make more money than men.
Right.
As an example, there are more women in law school now than there are men.
I believe it's coming
close to that in medical school. And the situation you're talking about is where the male is the high income earner.
Mm-hmm.
When the woman's the high income earner, I see the same thing. The men lose their jobs and they will not communicate. They shut down.
Yeah.
And a lot of that is work you need to do before something like that happens. There has to be emotional intimacy.
Yeah.
And emotional intimacy is getting more and more rare. Because where do you learn emotional intimacy? And this is the ability to talk to your partner, is you really learn it from the parent who's the opposite sex. So if a woman has a great relationship with her dad, chances are she's got a good shot of having a great emotional intimacy with her sexual partner.
Somebody of the same status, though, because a girl who's become an attorney or a doctor, or was making $100,000 to $150,000 a year. Now, while she was going through grad school, she may have been dating the male boy. But now that she's graduated and she's reached her particular occupational pinnacle, she is not stepping down. And that is the problem, too. It's not just emotional intimacy. She can get emotional intimacy, but she's not going to choose to become emotionally intimate with the male boy.
A lot of them do. You'd be surprised how many very highly educated women come through my office who are married to blue collar workers.
Well, I would be surprised.
It is, but I mean, a lot of that also is that they're not able to be emotionally intimate, so they're picking people who they know they can't be emotionally intimate with. You know, like here's an example of you. A woman who's been abused, for example, as a child, may go have a boyfriend who abuses her, and then has another boyfriend that abuses her, and then has a husband that abuses her.
Mm-hmm.
And when they walk in here, I tell them they have to take a serious look at themselves and why they keep driving themselves to relationships where somebody's abusing them.
Yeah. Especially when a guy who's correct approached them, and that guy who's wants to treat them well, pays the
they're
price.
Not ready for it.
He's not abusive.
Yeah, they're not looking for
that. How come you are not acting this way? How come you're not doing this? Because how come you're not putting me down? I'm like, really? I can't be with you. I don't want to be with somebody.
Well, that's somebody who you don't want to be with. Because
I don't
want to
be with somebody
who has a true relationship. You won't. You can. They're not ready for it. They have to learn something. Because, I tell them when they come in here, you know, I'll get you your restraining order. Yes, this person should not be hitting you. But if you don't figure out what's going on with yourself, it'll be the same guy with a different name.
Amen. Them layers keep
that's very true.
Going on.
What's she saying?
Very true with that.
And it's the same thing in divorce, though. I tell them you don't blame the other person. That's why irreconcilable differences is a beautiful thing. Yeah, you were married to a jerk or you were married to the, you know, biggest witch on the planet. Why'd you choose to go down that road? They're the same person you married.
Yeah.
Take responsibility.
Who comes to you?
You know, because the blame and the regret and all of the hate of everything that's happened won't help you. You go through all these problems for a reason. You better, figure out why you put yourself in that situation and grow and learn and become a better person.
I truly believe if you can look yourself in the mirror and you got divorced, but you could say in your heart and in your mind, I've done everything possible to make that marriage work, then you could come free. But if you can't look yourself in the mirror and say, you know what? Did I treat that person with the utmost respect? Did I make that person feel special? And you say no, then you need to look at yourself and take responsibility for that part. You can't take responsibility for your other people's actions. You can only take responsibility for your own actions and what you could do to make this relationship work. It's a two streets, two ways. You have to do your part, but the other person has to do her part also. And if you in your heart feel you did everything in your part and it didn't work out, at least you could put your heads up and say, you know what? I've done what I needed to do. It didn't work out. That doesn't mean that person was a bad person or whatever. It didn't work out. But I could look at myself and I could move on to the next.
But 9 times out of 10, people say, I should have known. There were red flags.
Yep.
And they don't get out of it. And why?
Well, I've already given reasons for that.
Well, what they need to do is figure out why they're making these choices. Every relationship, all the pain you go through, is a growing experience. You learn more about yourself. And you know, your life is about you. It's about you. All the other people are characters, and you decide how much importance to give them. You can, like, sit there and moan and shut the blinds and stay in the dark for months when somebody who's treated you very badly leaves. Or you can say, wow, why was I in there, and I need to fix this about me in the future and move forward.
But
so many times, they give so much energy and resources to blame instead of looking inside.
Let me ask you a question.
Go ahead.
Now, let's say, I don't know if you were around, I was talking about the really major difference between men and women and why men and women can't be happy. But let's say, from your experience, not just with those who walked into your office wanting a divorce, but let's say from your own social experience, if a man finds a woman who is attractive, interesting, conversationalist, good in bed, rather trustworthy, how much will he appreciate her as opposed to a female who finds a guy who is good-looking, good in bed, trustworthy, interesting? Who would break up or become bored with the relationship first?
That really depends. Because typically what happens, and again, I'm going to quote another book. There's a book called Why Men Love Bitches. And a bitch isn't a mean girl. A bitch is a babe in total control of herself. And when the men lose interest when the woman stops having her own identity, stops having her own happiness, and starts to act like their mother and a doormat. I mean, once a woman is sitting there making meals and eating food she doesn't like and going to football games and she doesn't like football and giving up time with her friends, the guy starts to lose interest and get bored. You have to keep who you are. And that, I mean, that's my advice for women. Keep your friends. If you don't like football, say, I don't want to go to football, but I'll meet you after. You know, or I'll go to football and I'll sit through it, but you got to go to a chick flick with me. You know, and make it clear who you are. Don't mutate and turn into somebody else or try and be who you think he wants you to be. With men?
I think it's the same advice.
It's almost
also.
The same thing.
Same
it's
advice, because I, what you're talking about, a lot of men do it. As soon as they have their girlfriend's friends pass away, they do crazy things. Like, you don't even like this thing.
Well, no, here's my thought. But
I gotta
really,
do
if they don't have self-respect, nobody else is going to respect them.
Well,
if you hold, you could be the ugliest woman in the world, and if you think you're hot and you walk around with your shoulders back and a big smile, you're a lot more attractive than that gorgeous woman slumped over with a frown on her face.
Amen. Well, let me ask you this question. How do you feel about women making the first move on men and paying for the first date?
I think it's fine depending on the man. Some men don't like it when women pay for the first date and they feel emasculated. Now, I'm a high-income female.
Mm-hmm.
If I were to go on a date with a man, he may think I'm trying to wear the pants. You know, if all of a sudden I'm grabbing the check, he's like, okay, I'm just her Gabbana boy.
Okay, that's
do
the
I
first
think
date. Let's say after the first second. Let's say after the first second,
I mean,
the
it
third
really
date.
Depends, because that's a touchy situation. It depends. I think they should offer to go Dutch. After the first couple of dates, I think it's fair for a woman to say, how about I pay for this? Or let me take you to lunch. You took me to that great restaurant last night. I so loved it. I want to share something else that I think, let me treat. I think it'd be great. I think they should offer, but it really depends on the individual, because a lot of women make the mistake of trying to do that to be fair financially, But then men take it the wrong way, and they feel like they're being taken care of or things like that.
That may be the indoctrination that men have gotten. But over time, again, after the first, second, or third date, if the man wants to pay the first, second, or third time, I think that's, you know, okay, fine if he wants to. But then after that, if the woman does not reciprocate, offer sincerely, I'm not talking about, let me pick up the check and then wait for the man to say, oh, no, let me do it. I'm talking about for the woman to do it after about the third or fourth date, because now she's gotten to know the man. She should offer, and she should actually go through with the offer and pick up the check.
Yeah, and a lot of women I know do that. But then some men get really uptight about it. It's a very, given our culture, it's a very tricky situation. Maybe, you know, in today's world with online dating and stuff like that, people should ask that question before they even go out with somebody.
Yep, they should do a lot of
so that you know, so that you know the preference. Because you can find out a lot about a person, unless they're lying, you know, before you even go out.
Yep, you sure can.
Yeah, I mean, it's not, you know, in today's world, it's not just meeting somebody in a bar. You know, all you know about that person is what they look like when you have beer goggles on.
Okay, being a divorce attorney, and you've seen, a whole lot of different cases, what are some of the questions that you would recommend that someone should ask a person when they're first meeting?
What do you like? Make sure they know what they like. If a woman is basically reading your profile back to you and you're dating online, you know already she's going to mutate and be that doormat. You know, and just, you know, what you love to do, you know, what was your family life like? Who do you admire? And here's a good one for both people to ask. What are your goals for the next 5 years? That will say a lot about a person. You want somebody who's excited about life. You want somebody who will say, you know what? I want to start this little cafe, or I want to start this online, you know, blog about this, or I want to go into advertising. You want to hear that people have goals and dreams. A lot of times I have stay-at-home moms come into my office after 20 years of marriage. And I said, well, what do you want to be when you grow up? Because you know what? Now's your time where you can actually be happy. And in this divorce, you're going to have a division of assets and get some support, and you can actually do what you love. What do you want to be? And they say a stay-at-home mom. And I look at them and I said, okay, your kid's 16. Now what? Because you have to, life is amazing when you're excited about goals and dreams. I mean, you guys know when you were starting this radio show how excited you feel about it. When you're going through the motions of life and punching a clock and you don't... That's really when you feel like a black and white TV. And if you want somebody who knows how to be happy and can help you build a life and you pull each other up, asking them what they, you know, what their goals are over 5 years is a good way to weed that out.
Okay, you're right and you're wrong, in my opinion.
Okay.
I think it's laudable to have somebody who has goals and wants to go to a different place 5 years hence. At the same time, just because a person is satisfied with the moment, there are people who have the hippie type of mentality where they just carpe diem, take advantage of the moment, and they like being in the moment, and they don't care about making the future Hollywood brighter. All they care about is if you have good money coming in, if you can play on the weekends, if you can watch TV, if you can have your sports friends, if you can have your girlfriend or if she can have her boyfriend, and the sameness doesn't bore them, that to me is fine too. Because what I look for is somebody I can trust. It's not somebody who wants to climb the mountain just because feminism told her that she should. Because that doesn't make for a trustworthy woman. Now, at the same time, if she wants to, that's fine. But she can't pin her identity to the fact that she's going to become something more than what she is today. Same thing with the guy. Because I would rather have a woman that I can trust, who likes the moment, who can laugh for the moment, who doesn't worry about the future, doesn't pin her identity to the future, rather than somebody who's thinking that because she has a brain, she did well in school, that therefore she has to become the next Marcia Stewart. Because that by itself doesn't mean that she's trustworthy, that she's going to be good girlfriend material.
You're assuming that all of the goals would be career.
Well, yeah, that's what it sounded like.
Maybe her goals are, you know what, I want to go to Hawaii. I want to go to Hawaii on vacation. I want to save money and go to Hawaii. To be happy, we are beings in motion. You are not the same person you were 5 years ago. There are parts of you that are still the same, but you're not the same person. And, I mean, I respectfully disagree. I'm not going to say you're wrong, but I'm going to say I respectfully disagree. I don't necessarily believe it has to be career. But if somebody doesn't have goals and dreams and they just want to live in the moment and not do anything else, I mean, the goal could be, you know what, I would like to have a boyfriend. Or I would like, I mean, people need, if you're not thinking about what you want to do, you have no desire, you know, have no passion in life. I mean, that's
that's
my feeling on it. I'm half Italian, half Jewish, so I got a lot of passion here.
Yeah.
And if I were going to look for somebody who would be good for me or good in a relationship, it would be somebody who I know will grasp life.
Well, that's the Carpe Diem. The thing is, I can respectfully disagree with you, too.
Okay, hold on, Joe. Let's bring Ebony in. Every empress in.
She's gonna feel a kinship with the attorney here.
Hello,
Ebony.
Hello, Ebony.
Hi, Joe. I don't know the lady's name.
I'm Attorney Liz.
Oh, hi, Attorney Liz.
Here's a burgeoning relationship right here.
Oh, I love your conversation.
Didn't I know that
I would love your conversation, okay?
We're missing one person now, but go ahead.
Okay. Come on. You know I would love the sister's conversation. I just like that last bit you were saying about, you know, the kind of person that you might be looking for. I mean, I hear what Joe's saying, actually, that, you know, someone... Yeah, actually, I do agree with you, Joe.
My God.
Calm down. You don't need to take drugs.
Okay.
I actually agree that, you know, someone could be, you know, wanting the simple life because, you know, and wanting to just have things the same way and it not be an issue. I think that's not an issue if that's fine with you, you know, and you're not really looking for someone who has great aspirations. But I think anybody who may have worked very hard to achieve what they want, I think how you're challenged is by someone who has aspirations and ambitions. And so I can see both what you're both saying, but I can actually, I'd say the person I would be the aspirer and the person who's ambitious. And they don't have to really, it doesn't have to be career-wise, definitely doesn't have to be. It could be just, you know, like I admire people who, like, are very sporty. I love doing marathons, but I love people who have a goal. And it doesn't matter what that goal may be, that they see their life in terms of, like, you know, I've done a certain amount of things, but there are things I might want to do before I die. And that doesn't have to be doing a bungee jump or whatever. It could be just like learning to sew if you're a woman. You know, that's an aspiration I have. My mom was a sewer, and I totally ignored that skill. And I go out and buy clothes all the time, and I always think, I wonder if I could make that dress myself. That's an aspiration I have. You know, it's one that I haven't yet realized, but it's a simple one. It isn't anything big, but it's an aspiration. And the outcome would be to see a finished garment that I created designed and, you know, made myself, and to be able to wear it. For me, that would be awesome. So, you know, it's that kind of thing that I think would kind of challenge me and someone else. I would really want to know more about you if you had some goals.
You know, you
be careers.
And you bring up a good point, both you and Attorney Liz, is that from the female perspective, okay, Liz is kind of backtracking now, saying it doesn't have to be career goals. But the thing is that most women are thinking of men as career-motivated people. The thing is, here's a perfect example. Let's say both of you met a guy who has tremendous talent painting, but the guy doesn't want to sell his paintings. He likes his paintings because it gives him some sort of relief or solace, some sort of emotional satisfaction, and doesn't want to share those paintings with the world. That would frustrate you, but it wouldn't frustrate him. And also, if we found a girl who had tremendous talent but didn't want to show off her paintings, we'd be a little frustrated because we want her to be happy. But in all reality, career goals for a woman, for us, doesn't mean shit. We don't care about your career goals. We don't care about your aspirations to be on top of that business pinnacle. We just care about who you are. Do you look good? Do you satisfy me in bed? Do you have my back? Can you give me emotional support? And that's basically it, unless, of course, we're social climbers and we want to try to attain the nouveau riche. But other than that, we can go for somebody who is making $30,000 a year or somebody who's making $100,000 a year. But if we found the person who's making $30,000 a year, who's got our back better than the $100,000 a year girl, we're taking the $30,000 a year girl. But it would be different with you chicks. You girls would want the guy who's making $100,000. That would turn you on more than the fact that he's got your back.
Well, I don't agree with you totally there, Joe, because I've got a lot of girlfriends who are career women and who are married to electricians, to engineers, who are simple, working in a factory, painting and decorators, you know, people that aren't, you know, big career guys. And they're absolutely happy with them because they're stable, reliable. You know, you can go do the dream and be doing your social climbing, but that guy's always going to have your back and always be there for you. So for a lot of women who really, and I reckon there are probably far more women who are involved or interested in personal development because it's seen as a kind of soft option for some men. But for women who pursue that and start to really sort of work out who they are and why they're here and what their purpose is, you know, it does take you away from, you know, the emotional, you know, thing of like, I must have this guy who is, you know, has a suit and has a job and whatever. What you're really looking for, and especially the older you get, you're looking for the stable keepers, right? Those guys who are going to be there irrespective. And very often they're not the career guys. They're not the career guys. They're not the ones who are chasing the dream, because the ones who are chasing the dream normally feel or believe they have the greatest options where women are concerned. And so if you get them, very often you can't keep them anyway. So, you know, that's the thing for women, particularly women who are career women. You will get the chasers. You will get the guy out there who, and I just remember dating a guy who was very, very ambitious and had the suit and had everything. And his thing to me was straight off, and the reason why I didn't really go any further was like, you know, I can have anything I want. I can have any woman I want. And that's because as soon as women see who I am, they want me. So his ego was so inflated. I was like, okay, go get, you know, knock yourself out. But, you know, I don't want to be one of those women. So I, you know, there are women who can see beyond, you know, what the surface is and are looking for a guy irrespective of the career thing. You know, just a simple guy like you, Joe, might work.
Yeah.
But are you simple guy. But Ebony, are you saying that this guy that you said had a big huge ego said to you that I can get any woman that I want?
Yeah.
was a turn off because of that, because I think every guy should have that attitude to a certain degree to make feel the woman that don't take me for granted. Because I truly believe that some guys who are really nice, who are really kind, who has everything, need to tell that woman, you know what? I am extremely special. And if you don't think that I am, don't get it twisted that I can get somebody who will. And women need to remember that, because sometimes they don't, and they take that guy who's nice, who's kind, who does great things and everything. You know, don't be too cocky, but don't be also a person that the woman's just going to take you for nothing. I think women need to feel that you are a man that could get other women, so she knows that, hey, if I don't step up, I don't want to be with a woman who guys doesn't want. I don't want to be with a woman that guys doesn't look at and say, all right, man, you are looking to have it. She's good looking. I don't want to be with a woman that no guys want. Really?
Well, he already was a great looking guy. He didn't have to do anything. He didn't need to sell himself to me because I could see who he was. You know, on the surface, what he was, I could see what he looked like, okay? But for him to, on top of that, right, feel that he needed to project to me, I was like, well, do you know what? Go knock yourself out with all these women who you can have at the drop of a hat. But you know what? Hey, I'm not interested. And I'm fine. I'm happy to pass on that, right? I'm not saying you shouldn't have high self-esteem, because high self-esteem and confidence is very sexy in a man and a woman, okay? But there's a difference between high self-esteem and confidence and arrogance, right? You know, and an inflated ego, which is all about me, 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 and I'm so great, and if I don't have you, let me have the next one, you know, because, you know, there are so many women or so many men chasing me. So
but you would be surprised. I'm sorry to say that, but you would be surprised. If the woman feels that you could have other women, she will run after you. I've been in many situations when a woman thought that. I broke up with a woman, and she thought that she could only be me. And she saw, we went to the club and everything. She was there, and I was there. We broke up and everything. One of my ex ran all night when she saw that so many women. She even did a jealousy in the outside of the car. I'm not going out with you anymore. Because she saw what I told her a long time ago, say, okay, it's over, fine, no problem. But don't think I'm going to stop my life because of you. She realized on her own, said, damn, y'all, I really made a mistake. And she made a big fuss because she realized on her own. And I think men need to sometimes make a woman realize, hey, if you lose me, you lose me. I'm not just somebody you're not going to get the same respect. You're not going to get the same treatment that you think. If you think my treatment is, if you think I'm something that's not good or great in your eyes, then don't be with me. But don't be surprised that other women will see that. And then you're shocked that say, oh, my God, because like Joe says, a lot of women want what they can't have. And when they lose their boyfriend that they thought that was a jerk or something who wasn't boring, and they realize that that guy is a commodity that a lot of women want, a lot of women will react and turn around and say, man, what did I do?
That happens with men as well. You know, there are men.
No, it doesn't happen with men.
No, hold on. There are men who undermine the women that they have because there are so many women out there and they have so much choice, and they will leave a good woman and go pick up other women because it's so easy. It does happen, okay? It's never in one direction. It's never just women, you know, casting men aside and undermining them and ignoring them and whatever. It does happen a lot to women, good women. Good women who think, actually, I am contributing to this guy. I'm really doing what I should be doing. And the next thing, you know, he's off with someone and you're like, what is that about, you know? And only because he feels he can, and he's in a sweet shop with lots of choice. So that does happen on the other side too. I absolutely hear that, you know, you want the person to respect you, and maybe sometimes if they value you, you know, you tell them that other women want you, then, you know, you somehow in their eyes your value goes up. But what I would say is that's good in the short term. But what you want is someone to really love you for you and to really value you for you, and it to be genuine and not based on jealousy or, you know, the fact that I don't want anybody else to have you, so I'm going to have you. That's not a genuine basis for a long-term commitment and for someone to stay with you irrespective through, you know, good times and bad. That will just keep you going for a while until the heat, you know, is off. And then it will start again. I mean, I met a friend today, and this is a genuine story. Met a friend today who is on his way to another country to get to actually meet a woman, although he's married. He's just agreed at Christmas, him and his wife agreed to, to end the marriage. And he's gone off to another country to meet someone he met on Facebook, right? And he's been talking to for the last 6 months who he feels understands him and values him, and, you know, to start another relationship.
Like, and
I said, well, you know, yeah, I was like, well, do you think that's a good thing given that you've only just ended a relationship? And he said, well, I don't know if it's a good thing, but what happened with my wife was when she heard I was going to another country to bring this woman back to go live with her because she's asked me to move out, she became jealous and she was like, what are we doing? Is this the right thing? And, you know, and it's made her think. And I said to him, okay, but you have dragged someone else into your drama that's unfinished, right? It's unfinished business between you and your wife. You've gone to bring someone else into that. And you're using that person basically to get at her. You know, if she's gone and done whatever she's doing with whoever, she's probably doing the same thing. Get real. If you want to finish the relationship, finish, end it. Get out of it, and then leave yourself some time to heal and then go look for someone else. But you need bringing someone in at this point, you know, that really is just a statement to your ex that, you know, you should value me because I'm still marketable. I'm still out there. Really, it's just a short-term fix. It's not long-term, but if it makes you feel better, some people need to do it. I think they should just go ahead and do what they want to do, but just be aware it is a short-term fix. That's my opinion.
Okay.
Oh, what? Say what? Was that silence I heard?
Yeah, it was silence. Okay.
Oh,
yeah.
My goodness.
Yeah.
Oh, wait a minute. Okay. Wow. Joe, no response, Stanley?
No, I understand what she's saying and everything. I agree with what she's saying, but I truly believe a lot of men do forget that they're great people and they're greatness and stays with somebody, women or men, that doesn't treat them well, that doesn't deserve them, that doesn't do that, and they just stay because they think in their mind they can't have better than that person. And that's a huge problem.
Well, men and women have lousy relationships by and large today. And it's going to continue that way. The future for relationships looks very, very dismal to me.
You think, Joe, it's not going to turn?
It's going to get worse.
If men and women would start having standards and saying, you know what, I'm not going to accept this. First of all, love yourself. That's not
good. Oh, yeah. I mean, if they did that, the thing is, men and women, I mean, they're not growing up. They're not being educated to what really is causing the breakups of relationships. And you're going to have women who are continuing to make more money than men, but will still have their old indoctrinations, which they will embrace, about I'm daddy's little girl, I am the princess. So they're going to try to live in both worlds. They're going to try to be the strong, independent woman, while at the same time they want to be this this little. They're going to try to live the Cinderella complex. And they're going to be, and these both these philosophies within one woman are going to be at odds with one another. They're not going to pick men for the real reasons that could make them happy. And it's going to continue with the breakdown of relationships. Marriages are going to become a thing of the past. And America, don't know about the rest of the world, is going to become a bifurcated nation. And people are just going to be at odds with one another, because they're not going to be able to be compatible with one another on an emotional level. feminism has won its day. And relationships are just going to go by the wayside.
Quite interesting,
well,
Joe.
I don't know if it has to be that way, because I think we're aware of what's going on. And if you're aware of something, there's an opportunity to try and change the outcome. And I think more and more with the conversations that are happening around Blog Talk in regards to relationships, and I hope that they're not just negative, people are getting the opportunity to learn something from those of us who are putting the shows out, like Mr. Talk and myself, that you guys are learning from it. And I think that provides an opportunity to actually say, well, you know what? Hey, this is what's going on out there, but what do we want to create? What is it that we want for ourselves and our relationships? And I don't believe that there's going to be any mass revolution or any big change out there, but I think small changes become changes that will grow, and more people then start to see what they can do. And I think it's almost through understanding what's going wrong and us having these powerful conversations, that between ourselves, we slowly develop some ideas about what could replace something that isn't working for us. And I think that's the power of conversation, and we should never negate that and never accept that, or almost have that acceptance that things cannot change.
Well, things are changing. They're just for the worse. The more money women will make, more women have been in college for the last 15, 20 years than men. They're graduating. They're making more salaries. They're getting better status-filled jobs than before. Women do not marry down. They don't date down in general. The exceptions are maybe your friends, Ebony, I'm sure. Attorney Liz has some friends like that. But for the most part, out of 100 women who have, let's say, making $100,000, 90% of them are going to pick men who are making $200,000 or $150,000 as their mate of choice for marriage and their mate of choice for relationships. Those guys who are not graduating from college, who are not reaching the same status as the female, will not be able to date those particular females. These females are growing in number in America. Means the relationships are going to be getting fewer and fewer. That's just the way it's going to be, because women do not marry down nor date down. They always want the stronger man, the more status-filled man, the more goal-oriented man. They always want somebody, quote-unquote, better than they. But traditionally, men have always married down, have always dated down. But if there's going to be more women who are going to be fulfilling or filling in these slots of the status positions than the men are, then the relationships have to become fewer and fewer than they are now.
Well, I don't know if I agree, because one thing that the golden thread through everything that you said is that, you know, we want a man, right? Right? And whether we are prepared to marry down, you know, I don't believe there are enough of those men that you talk about out there anyway, that they're not available, but women still want men, right? Mm-hmm. They still want men, unless they are lesbians and they're not interested in men and having relationships with men, they will want men. And there are less men than there are women anyway, technically on the planet. There's you guys than there are us. There are more women. So we are always looking, you know, for men. So I think, you know, I wouldn't, if I was a man, I would not be thinking, well, okay, this is what women want, because what are women's choices would be my thought. If enough men are not in that bracket, what is the choice for women? The choice is to look at the men that are out there, and even if they're not qualified in the way that we might have in our heads or whatever, if they have qualities, life qualities that are good qualities, i.e. they have integrity, they are strong men, they are good leaders, they are family orientated, they will look after you, and they demonstrate those skills of honesty, I think that a woman's going to say yes. Then she's not going to say no, and she's not going to think, well, you haven't got the qualifications or you haven't got the status, because there isn't that much choice out there. You can see by the number of women on the internet searching for love. There are so many women who are career women who are desperately on the internet searching. And trust me, they're not dating men that are in their stature. In a lot of cases, they're getting men outside. But they're prepared to do it because they just want to date anyway. They don't want to be, you know, they want a man anyway. Uh-huh. So I don't think the reality is what you're saying. The reality is women are making a choice for men irrespective. I think it's up to men to step up to the plate and show that they are the kind of men that are deserving of the women that they want. And it is about what you want. Because, you know, if you don't, some men don't want those kind of women anyway. So it's looking for what you want, and there's plenty of choice. You know?
Well, as time will tell, I will show that I'm right, and you're, like usual, Ebony, I'm wrong.
Well, let's wait for time, shall we, and then we'll come back and have a conversation again. But wow. I'm willing to put some money on it that I'm
right.
Oh boy.
Okay, Ebony, I hope you can afford your losses.
But. When you're saying that we men, we need to step up, what do you mean, Ebony, that we men, we need to step up? Because in my eyes, women, they need to step up. We've been stepping up since Blue Moon says, what do you mean we need to step up? We're the one who approach you.
What Joe said earlier about women, more women being in college, graduating from university, becoming the high flyers of society, if that is the case, right, and you want that kind of woman, right, if that's the choice of woman you are looking to date, then you're going to have to step up to that woman, okay, so that she recognizes that you are equal or greater, depending on, you know, that it's equal to her. And I'm saying that most women, when a guy steps to her, and I'm not saying step in a physical sense, but when you approach a woman that is a career woman, she's going to assess you on your confidence. She's going to assess you on, you know, the money thing comes into it, but it's not the biggest element. It really isn't the biggest element. I know guys who are not that great, but because they're funny, they're, you know, they've good sense of humor, they can talk, right? You know, their confidence is high. They're dating women left, right, and center. And he's the guy. The guys I know are not career guys. They're just smart, confident,
Ebony.
Funny, and women like that. Ask any woman.
Ebony. You can't contradict yourself. You can't say, Joe, you're wrong. You don't see that the trend is going to be the way that you describe it. You cannot say that, well, the women need men, and therefore they'll date down, and then at the same time say men have to step up by being at the same level of women. You're contradicting yourself.
No, right? I'm not saying step up that you need to be career guys. Did you hear what I said? I don't mean you need to be. I mean, have the confidence to approach these women and show them that you want them, if you want them, right? Because that's what I mean. Don't. Why
would
I?
We said to be their equal. So if a woman is a doctor and the man is a plumber, and he likes being a plumber, he can approach her with all the confidence that he wants, but she's going to say, all right, not a bad-looking guy, interesting, but not my type. That is what's going to happen.
I really don't believe you. I know a guy right now who's a painter and decorator who is dating a doctor, a woman who's a doctor. And the reason why she is dating him is she has tried, she's had all the range of guys out there who are the so-called expectation, right? And she's now chosen a guy who is reliable, who's there for her, who looks after her. They do everything. You know, he earns a lot of money painting and decorating, actually.
Ebony.
That's a fair. I mean, he's not earning as much as she is, but he can manage himself. He's financially stable.
Just blew your own story. Ebony.
Oh, Ebony. Oh, Joe, who's all doom and gloom. Come on.
Well, look at what's happening in America. Look what's happening in the UK. Relationships aren't working. There are very basic fundamentals as to why they're not working. if they were working, we wouldn't have to have these conversations.
Well, I'm not saying they are working. What I'm saying is, let's not give up on a process that, you know, and there's not, I'm saying let's not give up on it. Let's just still be open to the fact that change can come and that there are changes being made. Maybe we're just not aware of it in the way that we, you know, because we're always obviously talking about the environment that we see.
You know when the changes will come? The changes will come when the men and the women in their 40s, beyond 45, and because of their experiences, are starting to learn more about life than what they learned when they were younger. The younger, but before you're 40 and 45, you're 25, 35, and there are a lot of women and men out there who are going to do exactly as I said they're going to do. Ebony.
Well, you know, the jury's still out.
Jury has not been out. The case has been presented and lost. And where's attorney Liz? She's been quiet. I haven't heard.
She had to go. She had some things.
She had a case in court. She needed to go.
Well, it's nice to hear another female voice, and I'm glad Ebony's on the line too.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Joe. I almost like you now.
Almost. See, the change is coming, right, Ebony?
You know what? I'm glad too. We had two females' point of view today. That made it all great.
Well,
let's
I'm glad you're not counting the other chick.
Oh, yeah.
I think
anyway.
You guys ends in the studio.
Huh?
What chick?
Oh, there, you know, there's one that calls in all the time just to be argumentative. Super broad name, lady.
Yeah, ladies.
Lady's such a jackass. Attorney Liz calls in, Ebony calls in. No confrontations. I'm not a confrontational type of guy, ordinarily.
Ordinarily, except for when lady calls in.
she gets confrontational with me. I don't get confrontational with. All I do is ask questions.
Yesterday. Did I miss that? Was that yesterday?
No, that was today. She was doing the same thing yesterday, too. She likes to call in just to be combative.
Yeah.
As you know, Ebony, you and I disagree on a lot, but I don't get confrontational with you.
No.
Well,
I don't know if that's because...
You know, confrontation is not bad. It depends on the way it's done. You know?
Yeah.
And if you come in yelling and screaming and calling names, that's not the way to do it. You know, because whatever you're trying to say is automatically shut down and cut off because nobody's listening to you anyway.
And there's another reason why Ebony is so sweet. It's because she doesn't have the mute button. When she has the mute button, then she likes to put people on hold.
No. Oh, that's what it is.
Oh, ask her.
You know what,
Ebony?
You know what, Ebony? Maybe I need you to try doing that.
You know, sometimes people, it isn't that. And I found that on my show last night because I actually started, because Joe, you're always saying that, I started to keep my buttons open and let people talk.
Oh.
But then what happens is people go off the topic, they go to, you know, they're not answering the questions, but they bring in things that aren't relevant.
Right.
So, like, you know, there is a balance to strike with it.
Well,
people to speak, but I also like us to answer the questions that are, you know, what the show, you know, to stay focused on what the show's about.
Mm-hmm.
I agree there should be balance, but see, Eric, you don't know the history between myself and Ebony.
Okay.
I called the show a few times. I wasn't confrontational. I don't think I was confrontational. Then she would say, thank you, Joe. Let me just put you on hold for a little bit and then never get back to me.
Oh, okay.
And he took it personally like he would.
Well, like,
but you know what? Everybody knows who calls my show. It's never personal.
Oh, it's never personal. Her neglect of her callers. That's nice to know, Ebony. That when you do it out of negligence, it's not personal.
Oh, Lord.
I've got a busy... You know, I have a
Daily,
real
have you ever called the show? It's interesting. Call in and then she'll put you on hold.
Call in, I won't do it. What I'm saying is... And I could do it. I'm not going to say I won't
do it.
I could do it.
Well, yeah.
The reason might happen, and I have a good reason, and if you accept it, I'm happy. If you don't, I'll leave it. But what I'd say is that, you know, the reason why it might happen is because you may be going off topic, or you might be saying something that's
that
a little
has not been
some of my
the
ideas
reason,
or gentlemen.
You just said, okay, that was a caller named Joe. Let's put up Joe. I'm going to put you on hold for a minute if you don't mind. And without even waiting for me to reply, poof, I'm in limbo. And then she doesn't even bother getting back to me. And then I'm supposed to not take it personally.
Oh, and then, you know, Mr. Talk, he hasn't told you the full story.
Oh, what's the full story?
I offered him a whole show. I gave him a whole show to himself.
Did you?
I did. Joe says, do you remember that one?
Yeah, there was a show.
Why
that,
so narcissistic.
Right. tell the whole story, woman. How about telling the whole story? And then you had me, you said, Joe, how would you like to have the whole hour to yourself or something? I said, okay, fine. I show up and she's not there. Oh,
yeah,
you don't say that part, do you?
Sorry. Well, you know
that
what
made for a great show for sure.
Oh, great show. People actually tuned in to listen to me and her, and she noted, and she said, oh, I made a mistake. I have an American for an hour and a half. So she doesn't show up. And then she calls on another show, and then she wants me to do it. And then I said, okay. And then I actually she did give me the hour or the hour and a half, so it was good.
There you go.
There you go. See? So she made up. See, that's good.
Yeah, that's true. But, I mean, if you're going to tell the whole story, Ebony, tell the whole story. It makes me sound like the villain.
Let's tell the whole story. The week I wasn't there, I was unwell. So I didn't, you know, I couldn't do the show.
Well, at the time when the Americans supposed to show up.
Well, it happens. All right, though. Well, we about to get up out of here. Ebony, last words, ma'am.
Oh, I just say to people, be positive about relationships. I love the whole conversation of relationships because I think the possibilities are infinite. You know, we can have the relationships we want. We just got to believe it and be open to a conversation.
All right. I like that. All righty. Thank you. Do you have a show anytime soon?
Yeah, I've got a show on Thursday with Steve the Dean. I would say people just tune in, and it will be another really interesting topic. And I'm going to say that because I haven't yet decided what we're talking about.
Yeah. Those are the most interesting ones, that's for sure.
And they're going to be infinite. Yeah.
Oh, Lord.
Well,
all right.
Infinite possibilities for love. But anyway, that might be the topic, actually.
What do you guys think?
But, yeah, I'm on a 3 p.m. Eastern time on Thursday, and that's 8 p.m. GMT time. And I think it's CST, that's 2 p.m., and PST, maybe 1 p.m. So there you go.
Okay, well, you may not get a lot of listeners to after I go off the air then.
Oh, that's right.
You run into my second hour, but it's okay.
Yeah. Well, you two can merge, actually.
It ain't a bad thing. Well, okay, Joe.
When you two want to. She,
mm-hmm. Yeah, that would be interesting. Take one show over to the next. Right. I like that. Yeah. We work on that, Ebony.
Talking about what we talked about tonight?
Hmm?
You want to keep talking about what we talked about tonight?
You mean on your show tomorrow?
Uh-huh.
No, because tomorrow's topic is something different. They've been a big
guy. Tomorrow's conversation will be stale.
Yeah.
But I reckon we'll probably talk about the infinite possibilities of love. Because I think we need to be more positive.
Yes.
I agree with that, too.
Yeah.
All right, Ebony. Well, we'll see you tomorrow.
Okay.
Sometime after the show. Thank you.
Take care. See
All
you,
right.
Joe.
Goodbye, Ebony.
All right, Mr. Joe. Last word is yours.
No, I don't have it. I'm just glad Ebony showed up because it's finally to have a woman who doesn't want to just argue.
Well, don't forget about Attorney Lee is.
Oh, yeah, and her, too. Got to give her props, too, for not arguing.
All right. Hey, y'all, and actually, Attorney Lee actually has a show also.
Oh, really?
Called CA Divorce Help Ask Attorney Lee. And it's on Thursday nights at 9 p.m. Pacific time. So y'all figure it out from there. Pacific time, so I guess it'd be, what, 11 Central?
Well, Pacific would be 10 o'clock Mountain, 11 Central, and 12 Eastern.
Yeah, there you go. See, Jordan figured it out. So, yeah, check out her show. She dropped some good knowledge today. I was impressed.
Well, is it going to be only about divorce, or is it going to be about relationships?
Well, I don't know, Joe. I haven't listened to the show.
Oh, you haven't listened to it? Okay.
Oh. I just got that from her while she was here.
Oh, all right.
Okay. All right, Joe. I'm going to make her part of the council when she can come drop by.
Okay. Better her than the lady.
All right, man. See you tomorrow.
Okay.
All right.
Goodbye, all.
All right, y'all. Once again, another outstanding show. Hey, y'all know what, though? I think this is one of the best shows I've had. I mean, great conversation. No, almost no arguing. Hey, you know, I want to give a special shout out to Attorney Liz for dropping in and, you know, kind of clearing a couple things up for us. Interesting. You know, of course, Ebony, hey, she's always welcome. And lady, thank you for coming by too. Joe, Stan, you know, Benny and Bible Benny, Thought Superior, Supreme, everybody else in the chat room, and those out there that's listening online. Once again, I want to say thank y'all for joining me today. Because without y'all, I wouldn't have a show. I'd be talking to the air. Anyway, hey, as far as relationships and convenience and all that, oh, Lord, it's hard. But like you say, if you, you know, like they say, if you know what you want and who you are and you're happy with yourself, then there should be no problem with keeping a relationship going. And you shouldn't have to end up in a relationship of convenience. It's easy. Sounds easy. I'm not going to lie like that. It sounds easy, but a lot of times it's not as easy as it sounds. But with a little work, I'm sure we can make anything happen. Okay? Well, y'all remember when you get home tonight, get that special someone a kiss, hug, squeeze them, tell them you love them, you appreciate them. Hell, sit down and talk to them. You know, some of us don't sit down and talk to our others. And that includes the kids, too. Find out what's going on in their mind. You may be surprised. You may be surprised. You know, because one minute they'd be there, and next minute they'd be gone, and you'd be left wondering why you didn't say what you needed to say. All right, well, tomorrow's show, 2 p.m. Central Standard Time, Why Don't Work. And I have a special guest, Miss Nicole, and we're going to go get into it all over again. All right? So until then, peace out, and I'm out of here. Talk, let's talk, let's talk, let's talk, let's talk, let's talk, let's talk.